Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data 1H2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Let's go! 1-on-3! 1-2-3!
You're listening to the best of the Dolphins.
Yeah, y'all boys, man. Keep hands on 2-1-2.
A weekly mix of AM 560 Sports, WQAM's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame members Rush just announced their 50-something tour. Want to see them? Grab a chance for you and a guest to win a fly away to see this legendary band at Madison Square Garden in New York City. The prize includes tickets to the show, round-trip airfare, and a two-night hotel stay. Don't miss out. Enter now, WQAM.com. It's a national contest, Joe.
All right, Woody, thank you so much. And, of course, a big story. Has nothing to do with actual football. But to his apology, for his comments after the game, after the loss to the Chargers, and everything that was said, listen, you got to move on now. You got the Browns, who aren't very good. You got a lot of their own problems. But I got to tell you, man, the bigger problem right now, if we're getting back to the football side of this, besides whatever you think of Tua, one way or the other, we got to stop or slow down the run defensively. My God. It's just looking at numbers last night on what everybody's been able to do. All these 100-yard rushers and these yards, dead last, giving up 5.5 yards per carry. My God, do the math on that. Every time just two carries are getting first downs, the amount of 20-yard runs they've had is just a lot of bad numbers that they're trying to get cleaned up. Baldy talked about something I thought was very interesting, just not the D-line, but the tackling by everybody. He talked about linebackers. He talked about, and listen, our linebackers are stuffed. Hell, we got number one tackling linebacker in the NFL. He's got more tackles than anybody. And his sidekick had to miss last week's game, or he'd be right there with him. So, plays bounce out and guys just aren't tackling, aren't playing well. It's frustrating. And, you know, I know talked about, well, we're trying to strip the ball. Well, you better make sure you make tackles before guys take off and run for another 5, 6, 7, 8 yards before you decide to have somebody else come in and try to strip the ball or pop it out with the hit or something. So they got some things individually clean up and just playing better late in football games. And the mistakes, the little mistakes were just not good enough to overcome all the little mistakes. And the worst time to have the longest kickoff return against you, the last 30-something seconds of the game. Just across the board, you've seen them all. There's no reason to bring them all up here. I can tell you the game plan, though. This game plan for the Browns is going to be a really easy one. It's a copycat league. I'm sure when Anthony Weaver gets together with his guys, he goes, okay, we've got another running back that we're going to face here that's a rookie, and they're going to run the hell out of him because they think they can run the ball, and then they're going to have their rookie quarterback throw short passes to the tight end and running backs, and you can look at their numbers. A lot of checkdowns, a lot of swing passes, just a little curl up, 5-6 yards, just to have positive plays. Not a lot of yards, just put you in better second and third down situations. And if you're able to run the football, I know people are frustrated with our pass rush too. Look, if you're doing nothing but worried about the run, and the run and the run and the run. And now last week we saw the Chargers bounce outside of the tackles a couple of times for huge runs. Then it's hard to tee off. You're never in third and long situations, or very seldom. Everything is short. And, you know, whether it's quarterback sneak or hand the ball off or fake it and run outside, but it's just, it slowed down the pass rush. And from there, we got one interception in six games. I just think it's all connected. It's all connected to not being able to stop the run. And now we got Quinshon Judkins, 6 feet, 220 pounds, who's their best offensive player right now after getting through all his drama and legal issues to start the year. And he's our guy, and he's another one of these. By the way, everybody seems like they've got 220-pound running backs across the board. And he's another one. So that's going to be an interesting one while we're talking. And I know everybody and Tua, this whole thing with Tua, and everybody's got an opinion on it. Whether you're a casual fan, it's just one of those topics when somebody says something about the team. And some of you, by the way, some of you have said, why can't he say that? He's a quarterback. He should say that. I'm glad to see somebody stand up to those guys. And then other people going, nah, that's not how you do it. You don't call guys out. If you got a problem and it's bothering you that much, you talk to them. There's a lot of different places. You're together all day, 5 days a week. You are together all day. If you're on the plane, you got the plane. You're in the hotel. If you're at home, you're there all day. You're working out. You're lifting. You're in meetings. There's plenty of time. You eat together. And that great food they have over there. There's a lot of different ways to get your message across nicely to guys and tell them, hey, man, I need you. I need you to give me a little more. Just don't do it. And, you know, the weird thing is he's not a rookie. And he's been around this league for a while now. And so, anyway, I'm not so sure he didn't think some of it, you know, was media driven. And he came clean on it, but I'm guessing right after he said it, he thought nothing of it. Didn't think he had done anything wrong is what I really think. Hey, we got 7 o'clock hour coming up here. We got a lot more stuff to get to. And as I said, Kim Bocamper will join us today. Pete Prisco is going to be in, and Don Strock is going to call us as well. Talk to Stroker and talk about some of the quarterback stuff and trying to fix things. And nobody sharper than Don Strock with all that stuff. So we get his take on meetings and leadership and all that stuff.
Hi, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the show. Hey, Leroy, can we get a weather update from Chill Zone AC? Yeah. Featuring reliably rude AC systems. Make your AC great again. Visit chillzoneac.com.
Listen, I don't know if this weather teasing us This what we have going on into October and November, you know, into Thanksgiving and Halloween, or are we going to get another, you know, heat wave with some storms? But right now, this weather is beautiful. Not nearly no wind, barely any wind. I'm going to say if it's 5 miles an hour, I'm shocked. I don't see any clouds. And it's a pleasant 80, 81 degrees. It's a beautiful day out there. The only thing that sucks is I'm looking at it. I can't go out and enjoy it.
Yeah. It is 81 degrees outside.
He's good.
There is
But you can feel the humidity is lower because even though it's 81, because even in the winter, it still gets up to 80, 85 degrees, but you don't feel that smothering heat because the humidity is low.
Wind gusts is up to 14 miles.
14? Mm-hmm. Well, somebody need to come cut these trees because they're heavy. They've been lifting weights because they ain't moving.
But it should be partly cloudy around 11 a.m.
All right.
Yeah, like I thought yesterday, based on what it was out east, that we might, you know, when that blows across, that we might get some evening showers, but we got nothing. So
Josh Hart, you know, says,
I'm always hesitant to say no rain, right? Because it's Florida.
Of course. Josh says, Leroy, give me the weather outside Hard Rock. I can tell you what's happening. Storms are brewing around that podium.
You think so?
Storms are brewing.
And it's not,
I don't think.
And it's not duck.
I don't, see,
it's not Storm Duck?
No, it's not Storm Duck.
Okay.
God, I miss it.
I would say really? This.
No, I just want to play this.
Storm Duck. Quack, quack, quack.
That's it.
Hey. I mean, that's all nice and great, but Storm been clipped.
Yeah.
How long is he out? Is he out? He's not out.
He started practicing last week, so it seems like he's coming back. Maybe this week.
Okay.
Maybe this week.
No, he said that I think McDaniel came out on Monday and said that nobody's coming back this week.
No, but he meant the guys who come off IR.
Okay.
He's just been working his way back from an ankle injury, and I think he started practicing last week. I mean, we'll find out today. We'll get an injury report, but I think he's closer. Yeah, but everybody else, all the linemen, everybody who's on IR, nope. No kickers, no centers, no Eichenberg, no nobody. Everybody's on that. No Austin Jackson, no James Daniels. You know,
hey.
a strong fortress this Chris Greer has built in front of Tua.
Leroy.
Hey, can I just say this? I'm a read this comment.
Mm-hmm.
And periodically in life, we expose our true ignorance about what we're talking about.
Ooh.
And I'm going to say it. Let me just go ahead and put it out.
Mm-hmm.
The offensive line sucks, but Achane still manages to ball out every game. So please don't tell me it's the O-line. Tua sucks. Now, it's two different positions, and both of them rely on the offensive line a little bit differently. If Tua don't get no blocking, he can't use that 10-1 speed and get away. Achane can.
He definitely,
so there's that.
Can he hop on Achane's right? back?
The other thing is that we give Achane the ball outside, away from the O-line, so he can do his thing.
He was so fast.
You can't line Tua up out wide.
He like
and have him throw passes from there.
He's outrunning everybody.
And it's always been different for a running back. Like, a running back can make a guy miss. Like, Tua's supposed to be looking downfield. If he start trying to avoid the rush, he's even worse off. So
every one of those charts that I see on pass blocking, and I just want to be clear here, okay? Tua has stunk this season. I'm not trying to take away that he has stunk. But also, every chart that comes out, these people who do metrics on offensive line, the Dolphins are so far on the bottom. Like, and of course they are. You want to know why? Because half their line is backups, and one of them is the worst rookie you've ever seen in your life, and they got a center playing with half a chest who can't snap anyway, who tackled Tua.
Yeah, he got a sack. No blocks.
Are you going to get sacked by a guy with half a chest?
I'm telling you.
Hey, so.
And now he's mad. And by the way, and now they're all mad at him on top of it.
I ain't going to lie to you. The way Patrick Paul answered that question yesterday, that sounded like somebody, maybe. I know they won't do that, Leroy. I know they won't. I know they won't. But.
Like, somebody going, here's what they're going to do.
But I wouldn't.
Somebody going to make light
if somebody goes Ole, you know what I'm saying? Myles Garrett
give
goes.
Willie Beeman.
They don't do that. They don't do that because.
I know they
look,
don't.
At the end of the day, you got to do your job. Now, here's what's crazy. And I want y'all to answer this.
But Tua can't say
how far down is the Bengals O-line?
On these charts?
Yeah.
I don't know. I got to find it.
It's got to be Dolphins, Bengals, Jets. Like, they got to be the lower third of the offensive line.
Right.
I mean, Jets gave up 9 sacks on Sunday to Denver in London. So,
well, they are the number one defense, too. So that's a bad combination.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like,
9.
The bad teams, the record says, you can tell why they're bad.
Who was the Kansas City Chiefs linebacker?
Derek Thomas?
That passed. He had 8 sacks
in one game.
And guess what?
They lost.
The sack that he missed at the end of the game, the quarterback threw a touchdown and they lost.
He pulled a Jalen Phillips.
Yes.
By the way, I'm telling you.
Shook him. That was the craziest thing. You get 8 sacks, and the most important was the 9th one.
I will say this. Warning track sack power is hysterical.
Oh, my goodness. So, do you see where that list is? I'm just curious. And keep in mind, we talking about this stuff. We're not defending nobody. So, everybody calm down.
He had a funny post yesterday. And I felt bad because I thought immediately, I'm like, that's going to turn into a meme. Because he was putting this very loving post with his fiance, Jalen Phillips. And he's got her like wrapped up in his arms. No. It was so sweet.
Oh, I already got one.
And you already know what the comments were.
Oh, my God. I got like 5 out the gate.
Hey, I hope she's not too high off the ground because he'll drop her.
Hope he doesn't fumble this one.
Well, they were going well. How come
I hope she don't have no sunscreen.
It was more
slip right through his arms.
It was more to the tune of with Jalen Phillips. It was more to the tune of how come you couldn't wrap up Herbert like that.
Herbert.
You could wrap her, but you couldn't wrap Herbert.
Right.
It's all right. We love love.
So who,
happy for them.
Say, who do you think is doing a worse job? Now I already know that. What Chris Greer tried to fix the problems with is bad job by him, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in Cincinnati, you got your franchise quarterback that has given you success, but you're getting him killed every year. And so I would say, like, that dude.
Who, Duke Tobin?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Duke Tobin is – I mean, I guess you got to give it to Duke Tobin because at least they've gotten to conference finals and Super Bowls, you know?
Yeah, but it not without losing your quarterback every other
understood,
year.
Understood. But you asked who did a better job. No, Chris Greer's on the worst job.
Yeah. I meant who's doing the worst job. I meant – so it's Chris Greer.
Yeah.
I said it backwards. I meant better and, you know.
Chris Greer's doing the worst job. He's still the king.
Of course.
He's king of the mountain right now.
I don't understand, like, if I had to sit down and have a conversation with Chris Greer and, like, no BS, this doesn't leave the room, and we just have a talk, like, my first question would be, how did you ever think this was going to work?
Mm.
When you see all the successful teams in the league or have one basic thing in common, O-line and D-line. How did you think these group of men were going to make it work? Now, the problem is that they reset and tried to go young this year. So, they've accepted their fate and tried to build through the draft and with young guys.
Yeah, accepted their fate, but I don't think they thought it could be this bad. Like, it's legitimately been as bad as the worst case scenario has been.
I think that Chris Greer doesn't think offensive line is that important and you could get anybody to do the job based on what he's done.
And what he said.
Based on what he's done.
He said it. He's gone out in front of microphones and said, "You guys are more worried about than I am." It's like,
right?
Oh, all right.
And so if that's not an indictment,
and then my favorite,
why this team is built wrong, then I don't know what is, because he has basically told you he doesn't think offensive linemen are that important. He's never going to say that, but all we have
kind of did though.
All we have is look at how he's built this team and look at how he put these guys together and look at how he did, you know, with what, right? And the other thing I would ask him is, why are you so shocked when an injured player doesn't work?
I don't know.
Right?
That's one thing that's to me like the craziest thing, is he really doesn't think that's ever going to bite him.
Oh, he'll get healthy. We can save $3 million. No, you're not saving any money if the dude doesn't play. It's costing you $7 million.
How's a team that's got a hospital next to their practice facility not trust medical records?
The last time they trusted medical professionals, we ended up with Dante Culpepper instead of right? Right. Hey, is that not accurate?
It's true. Hey, no, it's true.
Right.
Hey, Chris, what do you, Mike, you and Mike think about offensive linemen?
It's always interesting because Mike and I were talking about this the other day, that with the offensive line, how every year that's, you know, you guys are like, oh, we're not good enough, not good enough. But then offensively, we're pretty good offense the last 2 years. And a number of you guys have talked about how the guys have improved. You know, those guys on the offensive line have worked their tails off.
Yeah, not anymore.
Here. And here is the difference between looking at the big picture and looking at and having guys bail you out, okay? And here's what I would say. Tua got rid of the ball so fast and gets rid of the ball so fast on a number of – in these past few years. He's gotten rid of the ball faster than anybody. Mike McDaniel's offense is quick passes and things like that, yep. Right? And what ends up happening is it looks like your line is protecting because of all those other things. You got to be able to look at it, because when it's 3rd and 7 or 3rd and 8 or 3rd and 12 and Tua got to wait for something to develop, he's getting swallowed up.
Yeah, I remember like 1 year Tua came out, it was like Stockholm Syndrome. He goes like, oh, it doesn't matter who your own line is. He goes, doesn't matter. I can get rid of the ball so fast. I'm like, nope.
It like, okay, yeah, when it's 1st and 10, which brings me to my other point, is if we're all aware of this, what is the worst thing you could do on 1st down? Lose 3 yards.
Oof.
Like, you were feeding into it. And I've been making a big deal about this, not just this year, not just last year, the year before. I've been making a big deal about this the whole time. There's nothing wrong with 2nd and 7, especially for this team. Because the further you get down into the downs and the distance becomes a little bit farther, that means you got to rely on a group of men that haven't protected your quarterback. So think ahead. Think, what do we need to do, right, either schematically or with players, when we get to those crunch times in a game and we need to pick up a 3rd and 12 or a 3rd and 13, but we can only throw a pass that is 3rd and 3 because our offensive line can't protect. Or Tua throws the ball away and you don't get a sack. And then at the end of the game, you look at, oh, we only gave up 1 sack today.
Great.
Good. That's what it, but so it, like, it has context. All this has context. So when you say, oh, y'all said the offensive line is getting bigger, I promise you it's one of these people just looking at the stats and say they only gave up 2 sacks today. But I'm telling you, when you watch the Dolphins play, Tua is under distress half of the game. Half of the game. And then Mike didn't do him no favors, because the 1 week they won, he started rolling him out. And then the very next week, he sat his ass in the pocket again.
Well, we'll take a break. Just a regular old 2nd hour is next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
All right, we'll get to Zach Gelb here in a moment. The Hard Rock Bet Party is on. You're on the guest list. Sign up, bet $5 on any game. If it wins, you also score $150 in bonus bets, a winning bet, and a boosted bankroll. That's what I need. I need both of those. I need a winning bet, and I need a boosted bankroll. That's how you get the party started. Touchdowns win games. They win bets, too. Pick your favorite playmaker to hit pay dirt on the Hard Rock Bet app. And beyond anytime touchdowns, you can bet rushing overs, and I'm telling you, every single week, I have cashed the Tua Tagovailoa rushing over ticket. He has gone over all 6 weeks. Not telling you to tail me on it, not telling you to fade me on it, just telling you the facts. Don't forget about baseball. You've got the conference, what do you call them, the conference championships? What the hell do you call these? Conference series? What are these?
Divisionals.
No, they're not the divisional. They're the
conference.
But it's not a conference. Help me out, Gelb. What the hell are these things called?
League.
So sorry, I was distracted by Channing's photo that he was showing. I have no clue what you just said.
All right, don't worry about it. Nobody else does. Real NBA tip-off is just days away. But until then, bet on preseason like it's the real thing. Shoot your shot on winners, point spreads, overs, unders, and more. Hard Rock Bet is your one-stop shop to bet all preseason long. One Hard Rock Bet player last week turned a $3 bet into over a $20,000 win. Spoiler alert, it was not me. If you want to see more wins like that, you can follow at Hard Rock Bet on social media. Just make sure you download the app right now. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida, must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, please call 1-833-PLAYWISE.
Hawkins
NLCS
League.
And ALCS.
Yeah, league series, because it's, well, yeah.
You said national. Divisional, but it's league, yeah.
Okay. I yelled league somewhere in there.
Are you sure?
Positive. I just started yelling words.
Zach Gelb can be heard nationally every afternoon on the Infinity Sports Network. He's on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Comes to us from the WFAN studios in New York City, but he is an unabashed Patriots fan. Are you, Gelby, of the belief the Patriots are the best team in the AFC East?
No, I would still say it's the Buffalo Bills, but this is the first time this season, even after when they beat them, I still didn't think the Patriots could win the AFC East. But after being in Atlanta the other night and sensing the frustration around the Buffalo Bills, I still think Buffalo will find a way to get it together and win the division. But I do think it's possible when you factor in the schedule, too, that the Pats could surprise some people and be AFC's champs this year.
And has Drake May come into his own, or did he have a couple good games? Because he looks good. The numbers aren't crazy, but he's leading winning drives. You know what I'm saying? He looks like an NFL quarterback. Is it he might be a Pro Bowler, or he's kind of figuring out the NFL?
He is what the quarterback position is in the year of 2025. The mobility, the way he extends the plays with his legs and then fires the ball down the field. It looks like, and I think I said this to you guys last week, that if Justin Herbert and Josh Allen and then Matthew Stafford, they were in that threesome, they had a baby, he would be the offspring. So I think I've used that now 2 weeks in a row.
Had to do that again.
But I will say, I've been most impressed with actually Drake May last year because the offensive line has improved in New England. Will Campbell, everyone killed him for the short arms, but he's been unbelievable. But last year, he really had no offensive line. The offensive line is fine this year. And wide receivers, the wide receiver stunk last year. Now they get Stephon Diggs, who is good, not great at this stage of his career. And last year, he kept on turning garbage into gold. And I could correlate this to the Dolphins. We know Tua Tagovailoa is not at a good offensive line in Miami, but Drake May is making the plays. Tua is not. He's throwing interceptions. And then what happened after the game? You know what? I will defend Tua for a second. I think his heart was in the right place. But when you throw three interceptions and then you're getting on people for being late to meetings, it ended up backfiring and not being a good look on him. But what a disaster this is, because the coach has no control of the team. And then also the quote unquote leader of the team, the quarterback, obviously his voice is not respected in the locker room. The Dolphins are a disaster. It feels like the early 2000s all over again in the AFCs, guys. It really does.
Hey, Gelb, you're right. How much credit do you give the New England organization specifically? Because we're sitting here in Miami. It feels like they haven't gotten rid of a quarterback that doesn't look great. They paid him. They have held on to a GM for way too long. They've held on to a coach probably for too long. Meanwhile, New England, you fire Bill Belichick, arguably the greatest head coach of all time. You finally said, hey, this just isn't working. We're getting rid of you. Then you hire another coach in Mayo. Clearly that didn't work. They said, we're going to go out. We're going to go get our guy. And they were able to find another seemingly franchise-type quarterback. What, 5 years removed from the greatest player ever leaving the organization? I mean, when you compare the two, it's like the New England Patriots, the organization, knew what to do in times of peril, while the Miami Dolphins are 25 years removed from their last playoff win and can't figure it out.
Yes and no. So I thought it was the right move to move off of Bill Belichick, right? Bill just was not adapting. He was trusting too much Joe Judge and Matt Patricia, and it ruined Mac Jones. The fact that they made Gerard Mayo the coach in waiting was sloppy. Really, Mike Vrabel should have been the coach of this team last year. And I said that before I knew that Gerard Mayo was the coach in waiting. My credit, I'm not dismissing the Kraft. I don't like how Kraft has been handling Belichick and all this stuff and the fighting and how he treated Bill in the aftermath. And we all know Robert Kraft at the end of the day is a great owner. But the credit goes to Mike Vrabel. The roster is better this year than last year, but it's not as if you look at this roster and say this should be a playoff team. But Mike Vrabel brought in some of his guys, whether it was a Harold Landry, they were aggressive. They got Milton Williams. I know not a Vrabel guy, but they stole him from the Carolina Panthers. He's supposed to go there. And you bring back Josh McDaniels and you put Drake May in a position to succeed. I think this is a Vrabel culture. This is a Vrabel mentality that has caught fire and is spreading all throughout the locker room. So I credit Mike Vrabel the most, actually, for the Patriots' success this season.
And for bringing him in, like Talana said, for making, what they say, hire slow, fire fast, for seeing Mayo wasn't the guy and getting him out. Down right here, people are criticizing Stephen Ross as the owner. I really don't think Robert Kraft knows much about football. Is it Elliott Wolf? Like, who are really making the decisions? Because right now, like Solana said, it looked like this damn working out. They look like they've turned it around in 2 years.
Yeah, so Elliott Wolf obviously has a say, but I think this is Mike Vrabel's organization, and he uses Elliott Wolf, and they have a good relationship. There's also, I forget who it is, there was some guy that came over from Tennessee who's like a behind-the-scenes guy that not a lot of people know. It could be a future GM one day, but that guy also gets a ton of credit who's considered Mike Vrabel's right-hand man. His name is escaping me, but this is Mike Vrabel's show. This is the Mike Vrabel and Drake May's show right out now in New England. And here's the scary part. Like, they tried to temper expectations before the season started. You look at this team, this roster could still get better. They don't have an elite player on the offensive side of the ball when you take out the quarterback. So if they go out and really make some moves this offseason, this could just be getting started. And it helps, too, when the schedule breaks the way that it did. Because this schedule, you look at it, I don't think it's a homer in me to say that this team could go win 10, 11 games. When you look at it the rest of the way, who are the toughest games? I think it's like Atlanta, Tampa Bay, and the Bills one more time.
And Miami. But, Gelb, my point is the Patriots didn't get lucky here. The organization is well-structured. Correct. Yeah. I mean, I don't know for sure. I'm asking, like, because you could just say, hey, they got lucky with Drake May. I think part of that is true. But it's top to bottom, I think the organization deserves credit for maybe some luck, but also turning things around the way that they did in such a short amount of time.
Well, where I will give Robert Kraft credit is I know he made Gerard Mayo the coach in waiting, but he got rid of him after a year because he knew it wasn't working out and he knew he had to go bring in a professional coach in Mike Vrabel. That he gets credit for. Where if you want to relate it to Miami, how Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel, I know Greer more so because he's been there longer, but now McDaniel, you're one of the laughing stocks of the league. This is not just a bad season, right? Everyone has a bad season here or there. There's a difference in being bad and then being embarrassing. And this team is an embarrassment right now. And it's even worse at the podium. Like, I'm past Mike McDaniel was stuttering and going, and not understanding one word that comes out of his mouth when he gives a 2-minute answer. But the quarterback, this is a different Tua Tagovailoa this year. This is a Tua that's been on the attack. This has been Tua that's been aggressive. And no one wants to hear someone be on the attack and be aggressive when you throw 3 interceptions and what, you won one lousy game so far and you keep on blowing games left and right.
Well, that's the shocking thing, because I've said to Crowder and Solana, like, Stephen Ross is patient, doesn't like to pull the trigger on his employees until it's sometimes maybe too late, but he's getting embarrassed.
Yeah.
And at some point, when you're a successful billionaire, you don't get embarrassed in your business endeavors. You sometimes make bad decisions and you correct them. And you surround yourself with people so that you make better decisions than you make bad decisions. But he's getting embarrassed on a consistent basis. So I don't know. What is the argument for keeping Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel at this point?
I have no clue at this point. And the only thing I keep on going back to, I used to say this with Greer, now I'll say it with Mike McDaniel. He's got to have some good pictures of Stephen Ross. That's the only thing that I could give you. That's the only, like, if they lose to the Browns this weekend and the Browns have a good defense, how are you going to justify keeping these two Stu Nods running the organization? How can you justify it?
What's the advantage? Though we talked about this too, Gilby. What's the advantage of firing the GM and the head coach week 7? Now, like, who, you're not going to get a good guy to come in, right? And there is not a great GM or great head coach available right now.
No.
As you sit here.
The GM's a different story. The GM just can't be making the decisions after this year. For the head coach, there's just no order in this locker room. There is no respect in this locker room. So, like, are things really going to change that much in Tennessee with the fact that they got rid of Brian Callahan? Probably not. Could it? Yeah, I guess so. But when a coach just keeps on being inept, 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 and he's turning into a laughingstock, how do you let him continue this season? And how can you look your fans in the eyes and say you're doing what's in the best interest of the team? You got to get this guy out. And I don't even know who would be the interim, but it can't be much worse than what's going on with this clown and Mike McDaniel.
Yeah, see, that's the national. We were talking about, like, what's the national perspective on the Dolphins? It's what Gelb is explaining right there. Like, people are looking at it.
It's embarrassing. I feel bad for the Dolphin fan.
Right, but you don't get any of the nuance. You don't get to hear the daily press conferences and stuff where we hash things out. You get these snapshots, and the snapshot of the Dolphins is brutal loss after brutal loss, last second loss, brutal loss, and then ridiculous press conferences. And it's like, yeah, how do you redraw that narrative? It's impossible with the current structure.
And you guys know this is not just me being in the take of the moment. I've been saying this even when Mike McDaniel was winning. Like 2 years ago, I sat there and I said, I feel like I am on the outside of the inside joke. This guy just doesn't resonate with me. I have the ick, and he gets in front of the podium and I say, how do you take this guy seriously when he opens his mouth? He'll be a really good offensive coordinator in this league. He's just not head coaching material. Like the entire tenure of Mike McDaniel has not been a disaster, right? They've made the playoffs two times, but it is ugly. Like real, like Chip Kelly, I was there in Philadelphia when Chip Kelly would get out to two hot starts his first two times, the first two seasons in Philadelphia, but then he would put his foot in his mouth at the podium and be embarrassing down the stretch. Less is more. This guy, I know you can't be Belichick at the podium because, right, you haven't won Jack, but you can't be giving these answers that just ramble for 2 minutes and your quarterback, after you, like the losing to the Chargers is embarrassing. Let me be clear. But how you handle it afterwards as the quarterback, and I was even defending the quarterback a little bit because guys should be on time for player meetings. But when you have three interceptions, you make it worse when you open your mouth and provide more distractions when people are ready to pounce on the flesh that are the Miami Dolphins right now.
Hey, Hawk, it's not that they're not listening to the press conferences. They don't want to listen to the press conferences. No, everybody's
I
done.
I don't blame them.
We have to them. Because we're down here. No, nobody wants to hear McDaniel speak anymore. Nobody.
Well, there are takes of mine that I'm like, this guy just needs to shut up. I can't listen to him anymore. But I do enjoy listening to the press conference because it makes for a lot of entertaining radio. You know, I joked with my producers. I said we could play one of his answers. I think I could stand up, go down the hall, go to the bathroom, make myself a cup of coffee, and he may still be answering the same exact question that was asked him. It's crazy.
And no answer will be given.
Yeah.
You still won't have any clarity by the time you get back from the bathroom.
It's so disastrous that it makes you want more, even though everyone would agree that this just needs to end.
You want to talk about the New York Rangers?
Yeah, they can't score. That's for sure. You get an honest book for me. The Rangers can't score to save their lives right now at home. Shut out again.
You're not being honest. We all see the scores. We see that they keep getting shut out at home. Did I read first time ever in NHL history that a team has been shut out three straight games to open the season at home?
Yeah, yeah. It's not pretty. We need to go on the road in Pittsburgh and play them as much as possible. See, this is how pathetic that the Dolphin season is right now, is that Hawk is talking about hockey in October and taking jabs at the Ranger fan.
I'm not even talking about the Panthers. I'm just looking for something to skewer him on, and the only thing I can think of is the Rangers.
Go ahead. Yo, you can't defend New York right now. The Mets, they're collapsed. The Yankees getting knocked out. The Rangers not scoring a damn goal. Hey, Jackson Dart.
The real deal.
Should not pay for a drink or a meal for the rest of the year.
Jackson Dart, I was at that game at MetLife Stadium up against the Eagles. Holy smokes. That was impressive, but I was even more impressed. We talk about at the podium. Afterwards at the podium, I wasn't here when the team was losing. You know, we are here to turn this around. I'm not saying this team's going to be all that good this year, but Cam Scataboo and Jackson Dart, if you're a Giant fan, you at least have some optimism, which you haven't had in a long time.
Fair enough.
The Jets suck, though. You know what? I don't know who's worse at the podium, McDaniel or Aaron Glenn, because McDaniel, I think, knows that he's cooked. Aaron Glenn thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. And this guy, how he yelled at the media for asking if he's going to bench Justin Fields. Like, hey, you ass clown. I think they were like 9-17 Justin Fields. Like, it's a legitimate question. It's ridiculous.
He had less yards than the Rangers have scored goals at home this season. Hey. Zach Gelb, the Infinity Sports Network, and he joins us on Wednesday. See you, Gelby.
You got it. Channing, Billy Napier, looks like that's over, by the way.
Comment.
We need you to make national news. Comment.
He gives you like that CBS Sports Minute on the way out.
Coming up today, like, Billy Napier needs to go. Yeah. I'm Zach Gelb.
I text Lane Kiffin. I got no response, but I shot him the text.
Yeah. Are you going to be dating his daughter as well? Just wondering soon.
See you, Gelby. Get out of here before you get us in trouble. All right, there you go. Zach Gelb from the Infinity Sports Network joins us from the WFAN studios in New York City every Wednesday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
All right, Woody, thank you so much. Always nice to have Alan Poupart, SI.com Dolphins and host of All Dolphins podcast. Alan, what a crazy week. Check that. What a crazy start to this season it's been for this team. It just seems like it started even before camp with just a lot of bad stuff going on.
Boy, what happened? Did I miss something? Oh, sorry.
No, it's just so I want to ask you. The rookie class, I think we all thought would play better. We knew they're going to play a lot. That was not a surprise. But did you think they would play a little higher, a little better early in the season than they have?
Yeah, except that's not saying a whole lot, is it? Not to be mean or anything like that, but the play's been really, really bad from those rookies. Here's the thing, though. And I did the story on that on the website this week. If you look at the history, generally speaking, certainly with the Dolphins of offensive and defensive linemen, like guys who are picked in the first or second round, generally speaking, it takes a bit. I still would have expected the level of play to be a little bit higher than it's been. And it's kind of been rough, even more so than for Jonah Savainaya, because it's more noticeable when he whiffs on a pass block right from the snap. And it happens once or twice every single game. And the guys on, you know, the defensive lineman is on top of Tua in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
But it's been really, really disappointing. And when you have the GM in late August tell you we're going to need and rely on our rookies, you know, to contribute a lot, and the level of performance is the way it's been, not good. And it's just one of the many reasons the Dolphins are where they are.
Yeah. What was this Tua stuff? You were out there every day. What's a Tua week been like for you? Because I get asked more about, and I'm sure you do, outside of the GM and the head coach, Tua's the guy everybody talks about.
Always, right? It's always about the quarterback regardless, and then you combine that with the fact he's probably the most polarizing player in the history of the Dolphins and one of the most polarizing in the history of the NFL, I would think. Yeah, the other part of it, too, is I think Tua has made a lot of comments that have been less than popular, I'd say, since he got the contract extension, and now it's gotten to the point where he's got to be really, really careful about what he says, and everything he says is going to be probably more scrutinized than maybe somebody else saying it. And I'm talking, of course, about, you know, CZ for people who do it at home, eating potato chips, get the ball out, brother, all those comments he's made. And the other part of it I can't help going back to is the number one rule that they have, the Dolphins, with their team rules. Number one is protect the team.
Right.
That was not protecting the team when he did. If he, regardless of how, what we want to say, like how big of a deal or how little of a deal it was, that's not, that's the antithesis of protecting the team. And wasn't needed. It wasn't, the question did not need to have that part of the answer. And he just volunteered it out there. And I guess the bad looking, but it's, story's getting old already, and it's been 5 days.
Yeah, it is. By the way, it is getting old. I'm with you on that. So, I do want to ask you this part of Tua, because I got it right after the game. A guy came right up and had his some family with him, and he said, "You know, this not on Tua, right? You know, this not on Tua. If we just get more around Tua," and we've been hearing some of that this week here as well. Not everybody. We got a lot of people would like to see him go away. But there's a lot of people still going, you got to just put more, get him an offensive line, get him more where you can protect him, and you've got your franchise quarterback. Well, you're getting that too, I'm sure. So what's your reaction?
I'm getting that all over the place for 5 years now. Everybody, you'd love to have five all pros on the offensive line, two a Hall of Famers, a wide receiver, Hall of Fame running back. That's not reality. And it's always by degrees. Everybody talks about Tua in extremes. It's like he completely sucks or he's a Hall of Famer if you get him right. Help. No, it's somewhere in between that. And the reality is he needs more help around him than a lot of quarterbacks around the NFL, certainly all of your elite quarterbacks. Because how much pass protection help did Justin Herbert have on those last two offensive snaps the Chargers had that got him in field goal position?
None.
At some point, you got to make your play. I mean, right?
Yeah. No, I'm with you. By the way, I'm with you, because we sit here and Woody's been doing the same thing, telling these people, like, look, nobody's got a perfect pocket. You're not going to stand back there and have a perfect. This is not Alabama. This is the NFL where things break down. We see it every week. I watch him, Baker Mayfield. You watched last night. Guys are got to get out of the pocket, trying to keep plays alive. They take off and run. And by the way, the other thing that Tua has, they don't. Tua's one hit away. One hit away. The concussion is a serious thing for this league. He gets another one. I don't know, man. All bets are off if he plays again.
No question. That's always going to be there. I think above and beyond that, the physical skill set makes it so that he needs more help around him. And I know you mentioned, I was listening to you guys earlier, the reclamation projects, like the Sam Darnold, the Baker Mayfield. These are guys who are physically superior to Tua. I'm sorry, but that's a fact. And this was always part when I watched Tua at Alabama, it was like, I mean, my word, look at the talent around him. It's like, I mean, he looks great. And he, you know, looks like a Hall of Famer, you know, caliber quarterback. He's got four wide receivers who became first round picks. The offensive line is nothing but first round guys. He's got Najee Harris, in the backfield and along with another guy who wound up going to the NFL. So it's like that's not reality in the NFL. And it's like you can have success. And it's never like going back to the point of like the certain members of the South Florida media who want to resort to everything's to his fault. No, everything's not to his fault. And he's also not absolved of all blame. I mean, he's part of the problem, but certainly not all on him. The fact that he takes up so much cap space kind of prevents you a little bit from being able to get more help around him. And that's all part of the problem there.
Hey, Alan, the other thing is this run defense, and I know we've had some people on said it's not just the defensive line that's had their problems. Actually, inside they played a little better in the last game, but it's a tackling, it's a support, it's tackling in the secondary by the safeties. There's a lot of things that just haven't been good enough with this team. You think everybody's got same game plan for them? It has not changed with anybody. It really hasn't. It's run, throw short passes, and we're getting a lot of that. And I'm guessing, unless this weather is super crazy, but it's definitely going to be more running. Do they make some adjustments in what they're doing, or does Anthony Weaver stick with the same strategy?
Well, I would think by now, we're 6 weeks into the season, he's probably tried everything to make it better. And to your point with about the Browns, it could be 75 and perfectly sunny. The Browns would be nuts if they did anything other than pound the ball at the Dolphins.
Right.
And I have to say, I really like Anthony Weaver as a guy and all that. And I still think he's a good coach. But you go back to this, you'll know what I'm talking about. I'm hearing a lot of Tom Olivadotti when he starts talking about, well, they had like four runs that gained 100 yards. The rest of the game, we did pretty well. Well, yeah, I mean, that's all great and all that. But if every game you're giving up, you know, those long runs, that doesn't work. And again, the collapses are at every level, as you mentioned. It's like one time, it's like, you know, you got an inside linebacker who's going to the wrong spot. You got an edge guy not setting the edge and allowing the guy to bounce outside.
Right.
You got a missed tackle in the middle of the defensive line. At some point, I think it's beyond scheme right now and what they're doing. They tried run blitzes, and I mean, and let's go stack the box on Sunday and see what happens, because I can't imagine Dylan Gabriel is going to be throwing it up all over the field. We're throwing it up all over the field.
Yeah. So let me ask you, if we do have what they're now predicting, 65 degrees, but rainy and winds could get up there 35, 50 miles an hour. Dolphins change the game plan a little bit, or does Cleveland change it? And who has the advantage?
I don't think Cleveland changes the game plan, because I think what they want to do is make things as easy as possible for Dylan Gabriel. And that passing game is woof. You saw what happens with Joe Flacco plays with that passing game and can't get anything done. And then he goes to Cincinnati, and last night he lights it up. It kind of makes a difference. Their wide receiver core is like, it's brutal.
Terrible.
One of those guys that Tua played with at Alabama, who was great in college and came into the NFL like lauded as a guy who's going to be a complete stud, hasn't turned out that way, and is now just a very marginal number one, if you have a number one. And I would challenge you to name their other starting wide receiver. And they're probably their best receiver in the passing game is David Njoku, and he hasn't practiced yet this week because he's got a knee injury. So to me, it's going to be run intensive for the Browns. I would think the Dolphins would adjust their game plan maybe a little bit if it's the weather conditions, you know, prove to materialize with a lot of wind and some rain. I think going to be an awful lot of short passing whenever they do throw, with the idea that obviously they'd love to be able to run the ball all day.
Alan, before I let you go, you think team's still hanging together? I didn't see a lot of emotion. I the one thing I was disappointed in the last game, and Bo right away noticed it, like it just seemed like everybody was kind of going through the motions. There wasn't a lot of celebrating. There wasn't just it's game day, man. And wasn't a lot of guys acting like game day. I worry the more you lose, the more you start to worry about this thing cracking. You think it's still this group's together?
I think they are together in a common goal, but I don't think they're necessarily having a ton of fun right now, which, duh, I mean, they're 1-5. But, you know, you go back to 2 years ago when every time they were scoring a touchdown, there was a different celebration in the end zone, whether it was the roller coaster or the little conga line. Don't see anything resembling that. It's a downtrodden team, I think, is the best way to describe it. And it's not going to change until they turn things around in the season, right, if they're able to manage to do that.
Tell you, the best thing they could do is just get a win somehow. Just go to Cleveland and find a way just to get a win, to just feel a little bit better about yourself, because there's a lot of games left. Alan, thank you, buddy. Really appreciate you coming on. Thanks, man.
You got it, partner.
Alan Poupart, SI.com Dolphins and host of All Dolphins podcast, does a really good job. Been around the team longer than anybody has covering them, going way, way back to the 80s, and really does a nice job.
Here are some grades from the Palm Beach Post. Letter grades for the Dolphins after the loss. What would you give Tua? This is the Palm Beach Post. What would you give Tua for his performance on Sunday?
C.
Solana?
C+.
So the Post gave him a C-. Tua was charged with two interceptions, really three. One bounced off Jaylen Waddle's hands, but it's more than that. He was ineffective much of the day, but not all day. Tua went 8 for 8 for 57 yards in the closing minutes, hitting Darren Waller with a 7-yard TD pass with 46 seconds left to give Miami a short-lived lead. Only one group got an A. You want to guess?
Oh, an A. Nobody in the front seven when you let them run that long. Oh, receivers drop balls. The kickers?
Running backs.
Oh, because it's just Achan. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because nobody else touches.
Ollie Gordon got a couple of carries, I think. But yeah, okay. The running backs got an A minus. They say Devon Achan showed his speed going around the right end for a 49-yard touchdown, rushed for 128 yards, also scored on a 4-yard run. What would you give the receivers? I'll tell you what they gave the receivers in a second. What would you give the receivers?
Oh, B minus.
Alana? Man, it's tough. A C plus.
Yeah, and Palm Beach Post gives them a C. Jalen Waddle double clutched a pass that resulted in an interception on Miami's second snap. Waddle atoned of sorts in the second quarter when he held on to a juggling catch as he slid out of bounds. It was good for a 45-yard catch to set up a field goal on the last play of the half. Waddle's most adventurous right sideline, finding no running room and dashing clear across the field to the left side. In the end, he was credited with gaining 0 yards, even though he covered about 35. Also, anyone seen Nick Westbrook Akine?
No.
They give him a grade of a C. Akine was good for one catch a game the first couple games of the season. Now he just seems to be out there taking up space.
And maybe Julian Hill fought for that first down. Waller got the touchdown, but that's the tight end group.
Yeah.
It's pretty much Waddle. Waddle has to do it all. Yeah.
Offensive line got a D. Defensive line got a D. Linebackers got a C. Defensive backs got a D. Special teams got a C. And coaching. What would you give coaching letter D. grade?
D.
Alana?
Man, maybe I'm on an island here, but I don't think the Dolphins lost that game because of coaching. I would give the Dolphins they lost, but a B minus in coaching.
Palm Beach Post gives them a D minus.
Their schematics were amazing.
No, it's not that their schematics were amazing, but the Dolphins, they take the lead. You had Jalen Phillips should have made a play. And then in the secondary, Ladd McConkey should have been tackled. That's two opportunities to win that game. Like, that's not on the coaches for these guys not executing their jobs properly, Crowder. So, I don't know. Like, you win if you don't have that big play by McConkey, you win that game. And I know we hate doing what ifs. Aside from the Tua controversy not happening, we're not talking about McDaniel here as a D or a D minus. And look, I'm not trying to defend Mike McDaniel, but the Dolphins didn't execute. The players did not execute in the biggest moment of the game. To me, that's not on the coach. That's on the players.
That's what Mike McDaniel said in the post-game press conference. He talked about executing in actual, real football formatics when the game is on the line. I'll tell you what the Palm Beach Post wrote. The Chargers were filled with backups, yet the Dolphins failed to capitalize. There were no answers for whatever Los Angeles threw at the Dolphins, and certainly no answers when the Dolphins had victory in their hands before the late defensive collapse for the decisive field goal with 5 seconds left. See, I think what the Post is doing there is more of a grand vision of what ended up transpiring, and there's a difference between what you're explaining and the way that they're grading it, because I'm kind of with Solana on that. Yeah. Like the coaching itself, it wasn't, I didn't feel like Mike McDaniel was outcoached at all, but at the end, you know, they didn't come out of there with the victory, so it's got to be, it's got to be someone's fault. It's hard. It would be very difficult to give the coaching staff better than a D on a loss when you've lost 5 out of 6 games in a season.
Knowing that people are running the ball down your throat every single week and not having.
Speaking of throat, it's just not. It's not possible.
I have a good point. It was the almonds.
What is pooling in your throat?
I don't know.
On a constant basis. That
well,
you
stop
can't
being
get...
soy at this point.
I just...
I told you, man, I think it's the beetroot juice. Because I got a beetroot.
You haven't had any beetroot juice. You've had bubbly. You've had potato chips. You've had almonds. You've had a Hot Pocket.
We have a production assistant. And she always asks, hey, you want coffee? I'm not a big coffee guy. I was like, is there a juice spot around here? Give me some beet juice because, you know, I'm a juicer. I think it's the beet juice, bro.
You sent out a production assistant to go get you beet juice?
Yeah. She's
that is
a little
such annoying. Diva behavior because
that's crazy, man.
Like she's asking specifically, does anyone want coffee? And because you're one of the stars of the show, you go, no, I would like some beetroot juice. And now this poor lady has to go out and find the diva beetroot juice while she's going to see at some point empty wrappers for a Hot Pocket, potato chips, almonds. And she's going to know that she spent a half hour of her day getting this jackass beetroot juice when because he's juicing, but also he's on the Frito-Lay diet during the day.
The juice place was closer than the Dunkin' Donuts. How about
that? But I'm assuming she was going to Dunkin' Donuts for the rest of the people.
And it was the same direction. She got my beet juice on the way back.
No.
It was. I'm telling you, because we looked it up. She was like,
That's such a bad look.
I don't know if there's any beetroot around here. I said, well, let's look on the old Google machine.
She said to you, I don't know if there's any beetroot juice. And you said, let's look it up together.
No, I actually already looked it up because she was like, hey, I'm going to go on a run here. And I was like, okay. And I put up juice near me. And I was like, hey, it's a juice place 700 feet away from us. You know, New York, everything's packed up tight. 700 feet. The Dunkin' Donuts was around the corner. If everybody got beetroot juice, she could have saved time. I was helping her out.
Man, bad look.
This is what I was going to say. You talk about bad coaching. You know your run defense is trash. You're 32 out of 32. That's pretty bad, right? You don't have any other fronts. You have no other blitzes. You have no other approach. Speaking of Anthony Weaver, knowing when they're going to run the ball, because all of y'all knew when they were going to run the ball. They put the little bitty dude in there to run the ball the first time when he went left. Oh, yeah, what are you going to do again? We got 30. They went left again. So I would say Anthony Weaver, knowing his run defense is trash, he had nothing to answer their run. And then scoring 6 points between the end of the first quarter and the start of the fourth quarter. They went 30 minutes of football and had a damn halftime break in the middle to recalibrate your game plan. Came out in the third quarter, couldn't piss a drop. That's where I'm saying the coaching is a D. You're not adjusting to anything the other team is doing.
Yeah, same thing happened in Carolina, by the way, where the Dolphins have that 17-0 lead. We talked how like Waller got no targets after that, and then until that final or second to final drive from Tua, where he throws the bomb to Waddle, the Dolphins' offense was just non-existent. I'm with you, and I think if you look at it big picture, all the coaches, because factor in special teams, I guess if you want to, giving up a 40-yard return on the most important play of the game to that point. The coaches didn't perform well. I was just talking specifically about Mike McDaniel. I'm not saying he should skate here, but I mean, he put that team in a position to win, did he not? They had a lead.
And you're doing it without Tyreek, you know.
Yeah. And then you're two guys on your defense are supposed to go out there and execute in a big moment a play that wins you a football game. And they didn't do that, especially Jalen Phillips, supposed to be one of your best players, and he didn't do it.
Not close.
And that's what getting watching the Buffalo game last night. Buffalo got the ball, went down and scored in the first possession. At halftime, Joe Brady went in there, figured something out, got the ball, drove straight down and scored in the first possession of the second half. That's what offensive gurus do. We used to do that. Mike McDaniel, we used to talk about it years ago. Oh, man, we come out of second half, we're going to have something for him. We have nothing for him anymore. We have a free punt. Punt team, get ready. First drive of the second half. We're not doing that anymore.
All right, 5 o'clock, Funky Buddha Happy Hour is coming up. We'll get some headlines. We're going to give away that Twin Peaks $50 gift card sometime in the final hour of the program. And I'll give you details on how to win tickets to a flyaway to see Rush in concert at Madison Square Garden. So do not go anywhere.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
I don't think you could offer me any money for my dog. I love my dog.
I got 100,000 cash.
Take them.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.